The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading of the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus and his disciples left from there and began a journey through Galilee, but he did not wish anyone to know about it. He was teaching his disciples and telling them, "The Son of Man is to be handed over to men, and they will kill him. And 3 days after his death, the Son of Man will rise." But they did not understand the saying, and they were afraid to question him. They came to Capernaum, and once inside the house, he began to ask them, "What were you arguing about on your way?" But they remained silent. They had been discussing among themselves on the way who was the greatest. Then he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "If anyone wishes to be first, he shall be the last of all and the servant of all." Taking a child, he placed it in their midst, and putting his arms around it, he said to them, "Whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
As followers of Jesus Christ, each one of us in journeying on this earth, with our feet on the ground and our hearts set in heaven, at times we can find that there can be tension in our heart. Tension in our heart at times. And what I mean by this is we are in the world, but not of the world. And there can be, in a way, in the world, and I'm pretty sure the vast majority of us in different ways have experienced this. We've seen it, and it hadn't really completely settled. And maybe we've lived it at moments, right? Maybe we've lived it at moments, but it hadn't really completely settled in our heart. And that is a thought of be first. Be first, whatever it takes. Be first at everything you do, whatever it takes. Now, hearing a statement like that, it could be well intended, but when we hear that, we're kind of like, well, hold a second here. Not at whatever it takes. But for us as Christians, it's to serve as Christ wants us to serve and be first in whatever it takes. Right? To be those servant leaders who strive to be first at the things we do, but with the heart of a Christian, following Jesus Christ, and whatever it takes to model that, and there's nothing wrong with being first. It's not like being a Christian, everything we do, we have to be last. We can't be the best. But what's great is when a Christian has that experience, they know that the gifts and the talents and everything that they receive, their education, everything they have comes as a gift from God, but we develop those things and we give glory to God. We give glory to God. First and foremost through our actions. Right? Followed up by our words. Our words mean something, but to speak and not back it up, that doesn't mean anything, but to act and then back it up with words. Why are you the way you are? Well, let me tell you. Jesus shows me the way. Jesus is the way. You know, someone once said, I heard this in seminary, at table and at play, a man, woman, boy, girl gives themselves away. At table and at play, a man, boy, girl gives themselves away. Kind of reveals whether they're about being first or they're about serving and being first in service. Jesus is the one who said, right? Who's greater, the one that sits in table or the one who serves? He said that. I like to think of, it was many years ago, some of you maybe saw the image, you could probably Google it and find the image, but there was this one young lady, I think she was playing either college or high school softball, okay? We're talking about play. A sport. Sport is play. And supposedly they were like in a championship game. And all they had to do was get the final out, and that was it, and they won. They won. They'd be first. They'd be number one. They get the trophy. And what happened is, in the first base, the first person playing first base in the tournament, the young lady, she didn't know the other young lady who was up for bat and her history with her team. So this young lady gets up to bat, and she hits a home run, and the whole team's going nuts because that home run meant they won the game. She starts out going to first, and wham, tears her ACL to where she falls on the ground, and tears are crying and all that. And in softball or in baseball, when someone falls, another teammate can't come out from the dugout and help them across the bases. Neither can a coach. But someone else on the field can. In other words, their opponent. And so all those in the infield were in an outfield were in amazement. The pitcher, they're like, what do we do? This young lady's here crying. She's there. She, you know, hit a home run. It's over the fence, but she's got to complete the bases. So the young lady playing first base comes up and just doesn't even think about it. Comes up and just picks her up and carries her. Carries her over every base and lets her touch every base with the one good foot. Carries her over every base to home, and the team celebrates and they won. That is so countercultural because she had an opportunity to be first. But instead, she chose to serve someone in need. And those type of examples pull us on the heart. They kind of yank at us. Think about it, okay? Think about when you have like a Thanksgiving dinner or a family gathering, right? A family gathering, they're there, right? How much that means to you when maybe a relative comes from out of town and they really could sit there and be served the whole time? Or even better yet, if it's a niece or a nephew or a grandchild, what that means to you when you go and you're with your family, extended family, and your grandchild comes up, maybe they're little. And what they do is everybody else has run off to play yard games or do something like that, but then they come in, they say, can I help you with the dishes? Can I help clear the table? Whoa. Serve and be first, whatever it takes. Let's unpack that a little bit in the gospel today. Not just the gospel, but the whole liturgy of the word. What we see in the book of wisdom, which I learned something praying on the living word of God this week in preparation, is I always thought it was Isaiah chapter 50 that talked about the suffering servant, but the book of wisdom does too. It's talking about Jesus. Let's put him to the test. Let's do this. A group of people in time that were striving to be first, and they were willing to put someone else down in order that they might be first. How can I put someone else down to elevate myself? That never works. That never works. And there they are. They're pointing and speaking about Jesus. And Jesus knew he was the living word of God. He knew that's where he was going. St. James speaking in the second reading, the letter St. James is writing. He's talking about selfishness. And he's talking to the first Christians. He's saying to the Christians, don't be selfish. If you're selfish, if you're self-seeking as a Christian, if it's all about you being first, you're going to be last. But if you strive to be the servant of others, if you strive to do that, and he's pointing out, he's calling them out in the ways they were. So it should be a certain degree of consolation to us to know that we're made up of the same humanity, okay? There can be in a parish, in a diocese, in the church, all this pointing and going and this and that, and it can, as he talks about, a war. But what war is he talking about? The war that can rage in our heart with our passions. So are my prayers about asking for petitions for just me and my family and my things? Or is my prayer oriented towards a prayer of a servant like Jesus' prayer when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane? In the gospel, Jesus is trying to prepare his apostles, his close friends, his disciples for the scandal of the cross. What it means to truly serve, and he knew where he was going. And he knew exactly where he was going when he was there at that Last Supper, when he took off his outer garment and he knelt down and he washed the feet of his apostles. He says, you see me doing this, and you call me Master and Lord. Right? And he's teaching them in that moment as he teaches us what it means to put others first. To put others first. And Jesus became last of all. He became last of all, and not just for those who were following him, but for all humanity. He says, I will do it. And he became that little child. That child that he was holding in his arms saying, you got to become like this. Jesus became like that in the Garden of Gethsemane for you and me. Abba, Daddy, if it's possible, let this pass. But not my will, but yours be done. I've spoken about that I can't be, it can't just be all about me, Daddy. I need to do your will. How can I do it? I will do it. I will be that suffering servant. So Jesus took the scourging. Jesus walked the walk. Jesus was nailed. Jesus died. But Jesus, who ultimately was last in that moment, is first for all time. He's the servant of all. He's the leader of all. He's our King who guides our heart. He's the one who shows us the way, not to be first at any cost, but to serve and be first at any cost. What's the cost for me to serve? You know, I was thinking about, I told a couple stories there, but what's the big kind of like impact story? It's a big impact story that's going to bring it together and then hopefully give you and I, myself too, I'm pointing myself to, something to take away to our Monday. Something to take away to tomorrow. We can't just preach to Sunday. We have to preach to Monday. And when Father Mike and I are up here, it's not just about telling y'all what to do, because when one finger's pointing out, three are coming back at us. How do we be those who strive to be servants? To be servants and first, at whatever it costs. Well, the story this week is you. You're the story. You're at the center of the bulletin this weekend. You're on our website. And your story of serving first, serving others, is written all over the pages of our annual report. See, because I don't know your hearts, and I don't know what it costs, but Jesus knows your heart and my heart. We can look statistically at our annual report and see concretely, which really blows away in a big way, because this parish really serves. Many other priests are like, you have that many people who give to the offertory? It's an offering. It's an offering of your first fruits, just to say, I've received this and I want to give it back to you. Not to Father Richard, not to the parish that I've always been, but to give it back to God. And 66% of our parishioners give in that way. That's a huge statistic. Jesus wants 100. He wants 100%. And he's not all about, it's got to be big. And look at how he got excited about the widow's mite. What is my widow's mite? What is my giving? What is my giving that I give, right? Where I can say, okay, it's not about being first at any cost and all the other things of the world that I have to pursue, but it's about how can I be first in service and be first at whatever cost. Jesus said very clearly, right? One can gain the whole world, all the honors of the world, everything. But what good is that if someone loses their soul in the process? What good is all the worldly accomplishments? What good is all the things we can do for others if we're not leading others to Jesus? But you've done that this year. We went through a pandemic. We went through a pandemic and this parish grew. We have 12,333 approximately parishioners in this parish. Over 12,000. That's 3,800 and whatever, 60 some households. That makes us the second largest in this diocese. And that happened because of you. People come because they have this experience of Christ and they're hungry right now, and you've made it happen. We did as a parish. Amidst the pandemic, not even part of our budget, we put together an audio-visual upgrade that improved the technology and four cameras for live stream and all that. And we say, well, why are you speaking about this, Father? Because there's a lot of people still watching online. And people are watching that are out of state and out of country. Look at the annual report. We're talking about thousands of people who have benefited from our live stream, who have benefited from seeing you worship, who hear you respond, who hear you sing, who hear you engage. And I've had people from Florida, from California, from New York, from other countries saying, man, I wish I went to a church like that. I wish I had that type of experience where I could go get fed. And who's feeding us is Jesus. And people tap in online, live stream, is because they're looking to be fed. And so for all of you that contributed to that project, all of you that are here responding and giving witness to your faith, you're serving our Lord. And it's touching lives. You can look at the annual report, and the annual report's not just about money. It's not about money. It's not about money. The offertory is an offering to God. It's a gift to God. But what we're able to do with that, and the lives we're able to touch, is phenomenal. And look at that. Look at the ministries and the different things that we've done, even in a pandemic. And it's been hard. Our staff has really wrestled with that. It's been tough. Because it's been like this past year has been a like no-win situation, you know? You kind of open this up and you do this, and that doesn't work. If everybody knew how much our staff and the few we had, what they had to do the outdoor masses, the cost to do that, but the joy that came from that. To be able to put out communications about different things, about dealing with the pandemic and what we need to do, and my overarching goal, the goal of that, is that as many people as possible come and receive the bread of life. As many people as possible come and encounter the divine doctor. As many people as possible come and encounter this Jesus who came not to be served, but to serve. And he wants to serve our heart. He wants to touch our heart so that we can go out and be his instruments touching the lives of others. Jesus says very clear, and I'm coming in for the landing here. It really is. I promise. But I have to speak the annual report because you've written that story. And I can't thank y'all enough, because I can't do it. No individual can do it. But many hands lighten the load. As Simon and Cyrene helped Jesus carry the cross, we help Jesus carry the cross with the countless people that are out in our city, because what they're looking for ultimately is they're looking for a reason for life, and they're looking for Jesus. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 20, you will know them by their fruit. You will know them by their fruit. People know you in your neighborhoods, in your schools, in your place of work, by your fruit. By going countercultural and not say to be first at any cost, but to serve and be first at any cost. Jesus also says in John 13, 35, they will know that you are my disciples by your love for one another. By your love for one another as disciples of Christ. It begins in your domestic churches, which is your home. Then the second place we land to be those disciples who love one another is our parish, before our school and before our places of work. Because we come here to be fed, and then we go out to proclaim the good news. My brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to swim upstream. Do not be afraid to go against the current of the culture. Do not be afraid to exercise that in your home, first and foremost, to work those spiritual muscles that we need to work, to do that spiritual workout so that we're able to go out and be who we're called to be. That truly, either at play or at table, yes, we will give ourselves away as Jesus gave himself away, as one who came to serve and not to be served. How might I? This is the question to walk away. If you remember one last thing, This is it. How might I, this Monday, this day, strive to serve and be first at any cost? My family, place of work, my school, my community. Amen.